Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What up, gamers? Welcome to another episode of the Old Gaming Podcast.
Yay!
Flopsy, Enders, Digi, you know the deal. We're going to start this off with a little game. This is the first time we're doing this game. We're going to see if it's any good. It might suck. We'll see. I got a couple games that we all liked, but I don't think the names are very good. So I'm going to give you the game. You guys know these games. I'm going to give you a game. Based on what you think of the game, I want you guys to come up on the spot with a better name than what they got.
All right.
All right.
So we know that we knew of the game before, but we don't know what games he's bringing up. It's going to be on the spot.
Three games. We've all liked it. We've all played it. First one, Spec Ops: The Line. Mm. I just think the name, like, it's confusing to players. Like, is this, what kind of game is this? You don't know what's going on. It's got a colon in there. Does it really need it?
I think it would have been better if they just called it The Line.
Yeah,
because that's really
right?
What the game's about.
Yeah, The Line. Where is the line, and when do you cross it? And when does the crossing happen?
All right, that's our title. Where is the line, and when do you cross it?
No, the line.
Colon, apostrophe.
No, it's The Line, colon. Where is the line?
Question mark.
And when do you cross it?
I can't top that.
Question mark with an exclamation point. All right. Game number two, Divinity: Original Sin. Maybe I just don't like colons, but... All right, so there was already a Divinity. This is another version of Divinity. This is Divinity: Original Sin. But, I don't know, it's just a little confusing. Not very
Divinity, the way better one.
The way better one?
Yeah.
The good one.
This one you kickstarted.
And now they just had the Enhanced Edition come out, so it's like, this is the way better good one.
No, seriously, one. Though, this one. Seriously, what do you got? Uh-huh. You guys played the game. You put a ton of hours in, Bobby.
No, I love that game. That's probably in my top 10 of all time. I didn't really mind the title. Divinity's like a franchise.
Yeah, it is. Know?
I mean, the other Divinity games aren't really like that.
Do you know what the original sin is? Do you know what anything that's about? You played a ton of hours on this. Do we know what original sin means?
Yeah, I didn't really follow
the story too much.
No, I remember a lot of the story.
Well, the magic is called Source.
Yeah.
So. The original sin probably created the source, I'm guessing. I don't know.
So we still don't know if it has anything to do with the game.
Maybe it's a reference to Adam and Eve. I have no idea.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Emil's favorite game, Binding of Isaac. What is Isaac binding? What's going on there? Why is it called Binding of Isaac? Do we know?
I think the binding is metaphorical.
Well, Isaac is, another Isaac because... God wanted Abraham to kill Isaac, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's why they used Isaac. And then binding is to restrain someone, maybe because he's in the basement and he can't get out.
So you played a ton of hours, Emil. Do you like Binding Isaac, or if you could think of one?
I like it because it's so different than everything else. But it doesn't make sense. But he is, and we'll bring this up later, he's very into like codes and putting secret messages into things.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's a much deeper meaning than what it
is. I think he should have just gone all in and gone with the Antichrist, right? Because he's kind of like, it's got a lot of religious implications.
Yeah, it's very sacrilegious. Yeah.
Should have just gone all in, gone with the Antichrist.
I don't know. I think that spells it out too much.
I would have named it, did you know that God asked Abraham to kill his own kid? And then at the last second said, psych!
I never really realized that, but you are right.
Yeah.
So, I guess it does have some influences with that. All right, so you guys were terrible at that game. I give you guys an F, and you guys...
Yeah, we're going to get rid of that whole game.
We're
going to need a Chedit right here. Chedit point right here. That's an edit due to Chad's ideas. Chedit.
At least I'm coming up with ideas. They might suck, but there they are.
Hey, guys, remember that time I came up with Question the News? That was awesome.
Yeah, we're not even doing it this time. Alright, what else are we talking about?
Well, we had our review giveaway and we got our grand winner who we've already contacted him, right?
We have not.
Oh, okay. Well, right, big announcement.
Congratulations, Sites.
Sites with a Z.
Yeah.
So you gotta call it Sites.
He's been around for a super long time.
All right. Well, good. Congratulations. He gets $20. This was all in part of our 100 for 100.
Yep. Mostly came from Chad because
I'm cool.
Because he's cool.
Yeah. So
that's, we did that for our 100th episode, but we're also coming up on our 2-year anniversary. So I don't know, maybe something for that too.
We give away $2. $2.
There it is.
I'm glad we all thought of that.
Yeah.
Let's go into the story. The big story.
The big story.
And let's be honest, there's only one big story this week, right?
Well,
Legacy of the Void is a big game.
No, I think Fallout 4 eclipsed Legacy of the Void, Black Ops 3. I think this is probably one of the biggest releases.
At least for PC gaming. You could argue Black Ops, but that's so console-centric.
For the consoles, yeah.
But Fallout isn't very console-centric because it never got into the mod community or anything like that.
Well, it's so big that I guess the Xbox Live is going to support mods now just for this game. I think this is their first game that they're doing it for.
But how do you even, like, you need a computer to mod anyways.
Well, it's going to be, like, on Steam, what do you call it?
Workshop?
Steam Workshop or whatever, where the mods are already set. You just click one button and you install.
Oh, so you can't mod on Xbox. You can only pick up mods on the Xbox or whatever.
What?
These are Steam mods that you can download on Xbox. Is that how it's going?
Yeah.
But the PC market is still driving the mods.
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, that's who's going to be creating it. So.
Yeah. Okay. So, Amino and I both played a bunch. Bobby, you still haven't played it yet, right?
No, I was clear that I was going to pass on this one from the beginning. I played Fallout 3. I played a little bit of New Vegas. I'm really not into the franchise, although I've been hearing mixed reviews on this game. Like, I'm not sure what to think. I think if you look at the reviews, I think on Steam they're around 75%.
Really? That was it?
Yeah, pretty low. Lower than I'd expect. But if you look at PC Gamer or IGN, the ratings are much higher. I think a lot of people who were diehard Fallout 3 fans were a little disappointed in some of the features of this. I don't know. It all seems pretty nitpicky to me. But
like, what are they saying?
The VAT system, I've heard people complain about that, and it's just not as much RPG. It leans a lot more towards the action side of it.
And that's true.
There's a lot of things in Fallout 3 that I think people miss. So I think someone coming into this fresh who wasn't really too big into Fallout 3 would really like this, but I think a lot of people who spent like hundreds of hours in the previous games are...
To me, like, it just, it seems more of the same. Like, if you liked Fallout 3, this is just the bigger, the better, the expanded version. But Emil is the one that is really the Fallout fan, so I'm curious to his take on it.
Yeah, so the first 2-3 hours, I was kind of, like, underwhelmed. I'm like, wow, they really rushed the story here. Because in the first one, you didn't even leave the vault for, like, 3 or 4 or 5 hours, something like that. You started off as a young child, and it went through all your adolescent life and then into your adulthood, and you could see why your character had these character traits, because you were there while there was these major moments in his life, and you're just so invested in this character at this point, and this character is you, and you can go any direction. You can see, it's kind of like a person is a product of, you know, everything that's happened to that person up until that point, but you were there. It's almost like it was you. I mean, it was role-playing to the core. It starts with you coming out of the vagina,
and it just really
goes
does.
All the way into your death. And so it was amazing. And so when I got into this, and within an hour, I'll just say it's out there everywhere, within an hour or two maybe, you have power armor and you've killed the Deathclaw, which are the top weapons and the top armor from the first game, and one of the baddest enemies from the game. And that's within the first 2 hours. And they dial it back a little bit after that, but you still have the power armor. And that's... And I say this is a big difference. It's like the difference between watching Alien, where you don't even see the monster for 75% of the movie, and there's a big lead-up, but the payoff is so great, compared to Aliens, where it's still good, but it was just like Aliens in your face right off the bat, all day, the whole time. You know what I mean? They're still good, but it's in a different way. So it took me some adjusting to get that. And so I was like, okay, whatever. And then, other things I don't like are you don't have that much range in how you want to play your character. It's kind of like a Telltale game right now, where it doesn't really matter what you say. The same things are going to happen.
Are you talking about the dialogue between the
dialogue options? And not just the dialogue options. It's you kind of have to be a good guy here. I don't think you can progress through the game unless you do the base building and all that stuff. I don't think that you can keep going. So it's kind of like you kind of have to do this in order to unlock the rest of the game. And so by default, you building a shelter for somebody makes you not a good... makes you a good person, yeah. Right? And you're trying to take care of them. I do have to say that I started to fall for these people. Like, I really care about them.
Yeah.
Like, when I started my second settlement, they were just walking around and, like, it was raining on them. And I was like, well, I could do all the minimum stuff, or I could, like, give them a nice spot. So I didn't spend too much time on it, but it was nicer than I had to make it. And then, but right around 4 hours in, where I finally, okay, now go be free, like enjoy the playground that we've made. Then, I started getting right back into the Fallout, and now I'm like, oh, okay, this is what I missed. But it was still a little too easy. And then I read somewhere that, it was actually during, you know, loading screens, and they give you those tips. It said that the harder you push it, or the harder you put the settings, the harder the game, or the more likelihood of legendary creatures, which means more legendary drops.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, not only did I need to put it on harder anyway, but I'm going to get rewarded for it, of course. And once I did that, it changed the whole game for me. The battles are exciting. I'm actually scared where I'm supposed to be scared. Like, I wasn't scared in this game at all. And then now it's like there's creepy situations, and I'm really starting to enjoy it, and it's firmly got its hooks in me. It's to the point where I don't want to sit down and play, because I know if I do, it's going to be 5 hours.
Yeah.
So,
I haven't really played Fallout. I played a little bit of Fallout 3 just to experience it. When we did do that? 6 months ago, something like that.
Was that New Vegas? Or was
no,
that
you did New Vegas, and I did Fallout 3. So, I got to experience the like starting out as a child and all. And I like the intro in this one. The intro in this one, you get basically frozen. You get cryogenically frozen, and then you come out of it. And so this is, I think, the first time where you actually play somebody that experienced pre-nuclear bombs and post-nuclear bombs. So it was kind of interesting that way. But I did feel you were right. Like, they could have played up they could have gotten you more emotionally invested. They could have gotten you... there's some stuff that goes on with your family. The story in this one is basically you're trying to find your son who's been basically kidnapped. And you... I just didn't feel any, like, love for this... for this child that I now have to spend the rest of my time going to try to
100%.
Get. And so I'm playing just the side missions because I don't give a shit about Sean or whatever the kid's name is. Because
there's a kid frozen too?
The kid, the wife, and you are all frozen. Anyways, there's a scene, the kid gets taken. And I just don't care about the kid. And if you had spent another 30 minutes and you could have played that up, you could have gotten me emotionally invested. I felt like the bombs dropped almost right at the start. And you could have spent 30 minutes to get me in the hooks in me and gotten me interested, and I think that was lacking. But once you get into the game is just awesome. You know, it's everything I wanted. It's, you can do it first-person shooter. You can do it more RPG style. Items drop. But one thing I'm finding, because I like to collect things. I'm the guy that's in Diablo collecting, picking up all the loot.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much shit everywhere in this world.
Yeah.
You can pick up the knives and the forks. And I had to, like, train myself not to pick shit up.
Well, some stuff you have to. Even things that you would think you don't need to. Like, silver bowls, let's say. Those are expensive. You can sell them. But then also, there's, like... Oh, like... trays. What do you call it?
TV trays.
Those are made of aluminum. You really need aluminum for crafting. That's like, aluminum's really hard to find, and copper. So if you find a telephone, you need the wiring out of the telephone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So you're on the lookout.
Is caps worth, like, concerned about value?
I think or, so, because of the crafting situation.
Yeah, but my crafting is like, you put junk in there and then you craft what you can craft out of it. Is that not how it works?
Yeah, well, then you can unlock different, more levels of being able to craft stuff.
But none of that has to do with bottle caps.
I'm having issues with ammo right now, real bad. And so bottle caps buy me ammo.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't hit that wall yet, but you're also doing a harder difficulty.
Yeah, I mean, dude, just to kill one Deathclaw, it's like...
Yeah. Well, Deathclaws are like the pinnacle, right?
Yeah. And I got lucky. So what do you guys think about this? I try killing this Deathclaw. He's way above me.
You were telling me this.
He's way above me. There's no... I have no...
Is there any way to tell... Can you con somebody? Can you, like...
I don't think so.
See how much higher they are than you?
Uh-uh.
Or does everything scale to your level?
It's supposed to scale to your level.
Okay.
But also, there's supposed to be things you're supposed to run from. Right? So, like Deathclaws.
Because I hit a super mutant. And I hit him, like, 4 times. And I was like, oh, shit. That did about 4% of his health.
Yeah.
I'm bouncing out.
Yeah. There's things that aren't going to scale because they're not. There's a certain level they can't go below, right?
Gotcha.
So I see this Deathclaw. I'm only like level 10 or something like that. So I try to kill it like 8 times. It doesn't work out. And then like my 9th attempt, it got stuck on the geometry, right? So he's just like stuck there. And so I killed it. And then, but I felt kind of shitty about it. Would you guys have killed it? And
heck,
like,
yeah.
The rewards?
Yeah, and then sure, I would have teabagged it.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal.
While it was down on the ground.
Take that, bitch.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I was gone this weekend. I was up in LA, and the only regret I had was that I wasn't playing Fallout 4.
Like, yeah, I'm glad you're liking it, man.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get better. That's the best part. The graphics are going to get so much better. First things out of the gate.
Because of the modding?
The modding, yeah. The first things out of the gate are going to be probably, there's already an EMB for it.
I've already seen like a small tutorial on how to remove the frame cap, the frame limit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can
for
do
PC,
that.
There is one.
Yeah, you can do it really quick in the INI.
Yeah, the other thing you can do in the INI, see, because there's no modding tools yet, so everything is like INI moving around stuff in there. So there's one that makes the colors much more vivid. And. There's only like 3 right now, but they're going to be coming. And when they come, because the textures are really bad in this game, that's like the worst thing. Just everything. Like if you're looking at trash and the trash has different kinds of trash in it, it all just kind of looks like one mesh, even though you know they're different items.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's just, they were trying to protect frame rates. So, yeah, I can't wait for the mods. The mods are going to be great.
I have no interest in base building in this game. Absolutely none.
Yeah. You didn't care for the people like I did?
No. I could give 2 shits about those people. And I'm hoping that I don't have to do it because it's going to be just an annoyance for me. Do you have any, like, oh shit moments? Have you had any, like, oh shit moments yet in the game?
Yeah. I was in this one building and there was nothing in it. I was, like, climbing through all these things and I didn't hear anything. And then I heard, like, this, like, grumbling and it was super mutants. They're about to have lunch and they're talking to each other, and I was like, oh shit. So I snuck down. I was like, I gotta get out of here. There's a whole house full of them. So I turn around, start sneaking around, and 2 more came from behind me. It was like something out of a movie or something, and I just ran out of the house. But they're chasing me down the streets of Boston.
Is there a limit to how far they run? Because I was running from some guys and they're like
Bloatflies will follow you forever, I think.
Really?
Yeah, because they fly.
I don't know the Fallout like mechanics at all.
Yeah.
Well, so like I'm going into buildings. Like I went into like one building and searched it all up, and then I got to a computer that said, "Hey, you need somebody's password." And I'm looking everywhere in this giant building for this password. And finally, I get frustrated, so I looked it up online. And it's like, oh, it's part of a quest. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, son of a bitch! Like I didn't know that was part of like the Fallout mechanics, but now I know.
Are you using vats or are you shooting straight up?
Pretty much shooting straight up. Sometimes I'll use vats if I need a specific kill or a specific thing done. So I'll switch to vats.
Yeah. It's good for blow.
I thought I would do vats more, but you run out of AP so quick and then you have to like sit there for like so long.
Are you dashing?
No.
Like, are you sprinting?
After you use your vats and it's all done.
Yeah.
You have like 15 seconds before you're AP's yeah. full.
It's good to start off a fight, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And then you can spec into doing it better. But anyway, pretty good game. PC Gamer got an 88. I tend to agree. But and check back in a year. I think this will be one of the best games of all time. Seriously. Like, after all the mods are in and they fix all the little things. Oh, the controls are terrible, too. It's console-itis. They're all set up for console and not for people with mouse. So, I mean, there's three different kinds of menus and three different kinds of way to exit from those menus.
Yeah.
Like, if you're crafting, you're right. It's tab.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's Escape should be able to get you out of everything, but yeah. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And that'll be, you know.
But you still think it's worth the $60, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah. You're not regretting purchasing this at all. Right?
No. This is like a phenomenon. Even Pornhub. Pornhub's numbers dropped 10% on launch day.
I have no idea what Pornhub is.
Oh, it's a self-help website.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, and they also broke the record for most concurrent players on Steam ever, 390,000. So that broke GTA's record of of whatever it was. But this is non-Valve games, because Dota got up to 1 million before. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So Fallout definitely gets the thumbs up from us.
The Bob, DL, so to speak.
Why'd you say you were staying away, Bob?
Yeah, I'm just not too interested in that type of game. Okay. Maybe one of these days I'll get into it. I have a problem with Fallout, and I think it's because it's single player. It's same thing with Skyrim. If you made that multiplayer, I would be all about it.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised they didn't try to push the multiplayer. Like, everybody's trying to push multiplayer and do all these things, and Fallout is just kind of pure single player.
Well, I think a lot of people like the fact that it's single player.
So. Well, I know, but like corporate side, they're always trying to get multiplayer and push that sort of stuff. And it's nice to see this game just kind of stay true to its nature and just be a single player game.
Yep. All right. Well, what else have we been playing? I guess I'll talk about Legacy of the Void that came out.
Yeah.
Kind of
curious.
The same day, actually, November 10th.
Ballsy.
First of all, fuck GameStop. I pre-ordered from them because I had a gift card. I've told this story so many times, but it always starts with me. Well, I pre-ordered it through GameStop, and everyone's like, why'd you do that?
Yeah, seriously.
So, clarification. I had a gift card. Someone gave me a gift card to GameStop for like $40. I was like, well, that's perfect. That's how much Legacy of the Void is. So I promptly spent it on that like 6 weeks ago. I'm talking like probably in September. And I had Veterans Day off of work, so I'm like, this is perfect. I got all day to play Legacy of the Void, got the whole day off. I'm going to come home from work, Wednesday was Veterans Day. I'm going to come home from work on Tuesday, get Legacy of the Void, just start playing that all the way through till my day off on Wednesday. Didn't happen. GameStop did not send me that until 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, so like a day and a half late. That finally got to me, and I didn't get to play hardly any of it.
So not only did you go through GameStop, you had it delivered instead of picked up?
No, it was a digital code that they just had to email me.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, after a day, I went through the whole help support thing, and I was like, I ordered this, what the fuck, you know? And they never got back to me on that, but they eventually sent me the game code. So a little tip for all our listeners, don't pre-order through GameStop. I don't know why you would. But
don't you already have the rule, don't pre-order?
Yeah, but, you know.
Okay.
I'm just making... I pre-ordered.
Did you get any benefits from pre-ordering through GameStop on this?
No. I had the gift card, so it was basically like I got it for free. But once I finally did get the game, loaded it up. It is a standalone game, which is why they're charging a little bit more for it. I think the whole game time is probably around 18 hours. So, you know, maybe right around there with... I think it took me 15 to do StarCraft II. Part of the Swarm was much shorter, though.
So that's
but that was
like,
$20, right?
Yeah.
19 hours of campaign?
Oh, yeah.
With single cinematics and all that? Mm-hmm. Like a full-on game, huh?
Yeah. Mm. But the real catch here is the co-op modes. There's two co-op modes in Legacy of the Void that they're doing now. One is you both control one base, which is interesting. There used to be, in Age of Empires, you used to be able to give people control over your base to manage your units. I think you could do that in Warcraft 3 as well, but... you know, that feature's been in games before, but they put that in. There's also a whole new co-op mode that I really like, and I've been actually playing this mostly. You pick a character. You got your typical StarCraft characters, Raynor, Zagara, a couple other people, the Protoss, Artanis.
Sergeant Hammer?
Hammer's not in there, no.
Damn it.
Hammer was just a generic tank driver
that
put in Heroes of the Storm. Okay. But you pick a character, and they're like your hero, and you level them up in co-op mode. So if we were to play this game, we'd both go into co-op mode, and we'd each pick a character. We'd each have our own base. And then when we beat the mission, depending on how good we do, we'd get a bunch of XP, which would unlock other units for the race that we chose and talents for the hero that we chose. So it's almost like a campaign mode within the co-op mode. I really like that. I've been playing a lot of that. The story is great. The campaign's great, but it's really just more StarCraft. I don't even know what to say about it, but I will say this. StarCraft, I'm really getting into the storyline. I feel like it's a much more concise story than World of Warcraft. Warcraft is just so huge at this point. There's all these little stories, you know, here and there. It's just so much.
Thousands of years worth of stories.
Yeah. But StarCraft seems a little more like, here it is. This is a story. And they've got a great cinematic that you can play that says the story up until now. So if I go into Legacy of the Void and click on the story up until now, it tells me everything that happened in like a kind of like a Walking Dead previously.
Yeah, right.
kind of that deal, you know, maybe like 3 minutes long.
Witcher 3 did that too, right? Didn't they do
that? I think the Witcher did do that.
How long is it though?
It's like 2-3 minutes.
And you were satisfied with it? Like, oh, cool.
Yeah, no, it was perfect, because I had forgot everything about StarCraft 2.
I'm going to check that out anyway.
Yeah, like, no, you should definitely watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, you can watch all the cutscenes and kind of figure stuff out yourself, but, you know, this tells you all the crucial points and everything that you need to know, and it's pretty interesting. So I like that a lot. Got me up to speed, and I was able to get right into Legacy of the Void. Really happy with the game. I like it. StarCraft is it's difficult. Man, I watched a little bit of the StarCraft tournaments in BlizzCon, and it's just insane. I mean, Heroes of the Storm, I've been playing a lot of. You manage one unit. Some heroes have two or three. Well, two units have multiple characters you control. But StarCraft is just base building and managing your units, attacking, retreating, and each unit has different abilities, and you can build them different ways. I mean, I remember RTS games back in the day like Command & Conquer and the original Warcraft, and they were just so simplistic compared to this. It's crazy what all this has become.
I feel like MOBAs are a bunch of people who are like, okay, these games are too hard. Let's make a team of five so that we can manage all this shit and not go crazy.
Well, the MOBA was basically a modification of Warcraft 3.
What?
Yeah.
I was going to say.
But, you know, they took Warcraft 3 and they just... made a couple lanes, and you controlled one hero. And in Warcraft 3, you could build heroes. It was up to you what you want to do. You always built one, but sometimes people would build one or two. Sometimes people would build all three of them. That was the max you could
do. That was a great idea.
Yeah, but they were expensive, and you had to micro them a lot. So you had to decide, do I want a hero or do I want more units?
They even got equipment and stuff, right? I mean, you have to really micromanage them.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You get pick like up health potions.
Treasures and shit.
That would give you stat increases. Yeah, I miss Warcraft 3, especially after playing all this StarCraft.
But, do you think they're going to do another Warcraft? Not a World of Warcraft, just a straight Warcraft?
I don't know. I think, you know, Blizzard's got Overwatch coming out, and they've really covered all their bases with games. I don't know if they're going to do... You mean like another real-time strategy game, Warcraft?
Yeah.
I wish they would. That'd be incredible, but I don't know. I feel like they already got that covered with StarCraft. Like, World of Warcraft is their MMO, and StarCraft is going to be their RTS, and they're just going to leave it at that. But... yeah, I definitely like this. If anyone's out there playing it, hit me up, and we'll do some co-op or something.
Such a good year for games.
Yeah, it's been a great year.
Yeah, and I'm really liking, especially after seeing all this stuff with StarCraft, I'm starting to know the characters a little bit more, and it's making Heroes of the Storm all that much better. It's like, okay, now I know this guy's story.
Oh, so you like Heroes of the Storm?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
Nice. I played this actually last week, but I forgot to talk about it. So, Examina, played a little bit more today as well. You're crazy, man. This game is fucking really cool. It looks realistic. The physics are realistic.
The physics look realistic. It doesn't look realistic.
I really like the light. I think the lighting, I think it looks like a camera angle of showing a dungeon. It looks pretty good to me. You haven't seen it on my rig. You saw a video.
Okay. That's true.
That's true. It's really spooky. I mean, you're with torchlight, and there's these, like, zombie things, but they're not aggressive, necessarily. There's different types, I guess, and whether or not you aggro them, which makes it even more creepy. Like, if something just chased you every single time, that's one thing. You know that thing. You know it's going to eat you. These ones kind of look at you, and they might turn toward you, or they might turn away, and you're not really...
It's kind of like how you'd imagine zombies really to be, huh?
Yeah, maybe. Or how Bobby is in a social situation. It's like,
that's true.
There's nowhere to turn. It's really weird.
Awkward. Sometimes he charges, sometimes he doesn't. He sees the salad bar or the dip station, and suddenly he goes at it.
Yeah. This game is very brutal. It doesn't pull any punches.
It's early access, though, right?
It's early access, and they're adding stuff all the time. They just added a perk system. I think the perks might be persistent through death. I haven't played enough to see. But when I started today, I still had some XP, so I think that's what that is. But it's the same dungeon every single time, but the items are random. So there's some locked doors. I've never found the key. I'm sure they're somewhere. And you just walk around and kind of like... Some of them just outright attack you. So they're really scary. And you can fight them, but combat is... I mean, it really looks like you're this person trying to swing this super heavy whatever you found, and if you miss, that costs you a lot of time because you got to like pick up the sledgehammer again. And they're under the same rules. If they miss, that's a huge thing. So you're controlling it with your mouse. It's really strange. I haven't played a game quite like this, but I saw the reviews, and everybody who thumbs up it had like over 20. Mostly over 50 hours. So people are putting a lot of time into this. Because no two playthroughs are the same. But I can recommend it. It was a bit pricey, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, it was $15, but I was like, oh, this is right up my alley. So it's kind of like a realistic Binding of Isaac in a way. So yeah, I can recommend it for sure.
Wow.
I think it's actually called Exanum. I think you got the M and the I.
Ah,
the M and the N.
No wonder. Okay.
Exanima. That's a hard thing to pronounce for some reason.
Or it looks like eczema.
Yeah, it does.
Now that you said that.
So I'm playing Fallout on Amino's family share, which meant when I couldn't play Fallout, I had to find something else to play.
Or you could buy the game.
That happened a lot. Yeah. So I was trying to figure out what else to play. So I brought up Bobby's gigantic list of games, and I downloaded some that, for one reason or another, I was interested in. So I'm going to just talk briefly on one. Banner Saga, I played for a little bit. Graphics are cool. Gameplay, I had no interest in playing. Is that kind of how you felt about the game?
I like Banner Saga. I really did like the animation. It looks like that.
Yeah, it's a cartoon, basically. You're watching a cartoon.
Yeah, but it's a certain style of animation, like that old 70s or 80s, you know, like old sci-fi animation, like Wizard or the Lord of the Rings, the original one with the Hobbit. Yeah, it's that kind of style.
I can't recommend the game, though. I did not. It's just a basic turn-based... It's a turn-based strategy game.
It's got two types of gameplay in it, I feel like. It's got one that's Oregon Trail, where you're just traveling across the map and resource managing.
Yeah.
But then it's got another one that's turn-based, like Shadowrun or XCOM.
Turn-based strategy, yeah. And yeah, I got nothing out of it. And I just got bored. You're having conversations all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I liked how it looked. I wish I would have liked it more, but I didn't.
I like the gameplay, but yeah, it is a little heavy on the dialogue, and I can't remember. Did they voice act that?
Yes, they did.
Okay,
it was all voice acted. Yeah, and the production value, I liked it all. It was well made, but I needed a little more originality in the actual gameplay. So, and then the next one I played was Go Home Dinosaur, and it's we bring this up because one, Bobby loves dinosaurs, and two, he keeps bringing up this Go Home Dinosaurs. The premise of this game, for listeners that have listened to us before, you already know this because we talk about it every week. But basically, the premise is you're gophers that are cooking a barbecue, and the dinosaurs smell your food and want to come and eat your food. So you've got three steaks on the barbecue. And if you do a perfect run, you get to eat all three steaks. But if they get to you, the bombs that you've set up near your barbecue will blow up, killing one of your steaks, but also killing some of the dinosaurs.
It's a tower defense game, and you get three lives, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the interesting thing about this game is that your pieces, that your towers are basically Tetris pieces. And so you can only use the pieces that will fit on the board, because the dinosaurs have a set path, and there's different pieces, different slots that could fit. So you can have a giant square piece, but you can only put a giant square piece if you have four squares around to put the pieces.
That's a part that I didn't particularly like, because it kind of takes away from the originality of where you can place your towers.
But it's cool because, like, for example, the big square piece is really strong on a corner, right? So you want to be able to place those, but if you can't fit four squares, you can't use that piece. You can't use that piece at all.
Right.
Or the laser, which cuts through the groups of small dinosaurs, you want to use those against the groups of small dinosaurs, but if you don't have three straight in a row, you can't use the laser. So
it sounds ridiculous.
Everything about it was ridiculous. And I was having fun.
Yeah, for sure. What's cool about this is you have like a little hero that you have to physically move around.
The map. Yeah.
And he can help stem the dinosaurs, but really he's a gopher.
Yeah, he's picking up resources.
But you really need him. Sometimes you need him to back up.
Yeah, well, you can level him up too and change his abilities.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
And then the other thing I really liked was all the pop culture references. There was a ton of them.
There was. Like, how did they get away with some of this stuff?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
So it's fun. If you can pick it up for a dollar or two, definitely pick it up and have some fun.
It's really cute, good music.
And
it's
you can join the rest of the DL Gaming crew in knowing what the fuck.
Game of the year.
What the
Go
fuck?
Home Dinosaurs.
Go Home Dinosaurs.
Did that even come out this year?
No.
Okay.
No, it's been out for a little while.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean it can't win Game of the Year.
Next game I played was, let me bring up this one. I played The Wolf Among Us. You said Bobby says it's favorite Telltale game.
Mm-hmm.
Emil also loves it. I like the premise because I'm into comic books, and this is based off the Fable universe. If you're into comic books, so I was interested in playing it. I played through chapter one, had a blast playing it, and I don't like Telltale games, but I enjoyed this. I love detective games. I read detective novels, so it was cool being a detective.
I knew you were gonna like this
and all. Got through chapter one. I'm gonna keep playing it, but I won't talk about it anymore. But it highly recommend Wolf Among Us. The art style was cool. Like, I really like the art style.
Everything.
For some reason, it seemed like that was the best animated out of all of them too. I think because they were portraying humans, but I don't know. I think they did a better job of animating that than Walking Dead or.
I think that kind of art style works with the noir, because it really is a noir story. Like, mm-hmm. You could set this in the 20s and have
monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have worked.
And so it's kind of got this light, dark look, almost black and white, but it's not black and white, it's color, but it's very shadow heavy art style. And I didn't have a complaint about this.
Cool. I talked about Afterbirth a little bit a couple weeks ago, but I've just started into the challenges, the new Afterbirth challenges. They are fucking hard.
Yeah, I was watching you play it.
Every single time you've seen me, that's the same one.
Really?
I've been trying to pass this one. It's called Speed. The bad guys the bad guys are sped up, and I didn't even realize until I think you were in the room that after 16 minutes, you start just taking damage. And you're pretty much done. You only have like maybe half a level or you're going to die. Unless you have some way to regenerate health. But so you just keep playing until you get a lucky roll. I've been to the last level twice, but it's really hard. I just wanted to say that, you know, there is challenge for... If you want to test your skills, it's really hard. But also, because I consider myself a really good Binary of Isaac player, but not against this shit. And anyway, so also, this is kind of exciting. There's an ARG going on for Binding of Isaac. That's an augmented reality game. So the first thing that happened at the very end of the game, in greed mode, there's a dispenser where you can put pennies.
Okay. Right?
But the last boss steals pennies from you. So it's really hard to, after you kill him, to still have pennies to put into this thing.
Okay.
That's the whole dynamic, right? Because that's at the very end. So you could only put 109 pennies in it. And so everybody was complaining about this bug. But then 109 hours after Afterbirth came out, a patch came out or something.
Okay.
And then people were like, what's going on? And there were conspiracy theories on Reddit. And like, oh, this is too... And then like nothing happened for a while. And then the guy put out an image on Twitter, the owner.
Or yeah, what's that guy's name?
Yeah, I forget. But so it was just like, it didn't really mean much. It didn't make a lot of sense, but it was 109 pixels by 109 pixels. And then somebody figured it out that somehow somebody got caught. Oh, it goes to another website. There's a website like URL in there. Somebody went to that, went to another image. Finally, somebody, there's somewhere in Seattle where the company is, went there physically, and there was a sign with a picture on it, like, Isaac's lost, if found, call, but then the last three numbers were missing, but the last three numbers were 109.
Gotcha.
So then you call, and then I heard the message, and it's his father, and there's no reference to Isaac's father. He's like, Isaac, I know what you've come for. I know why you're here, but I need to know, something like that. And then he hangs up. And then, so there's more, there's stuff going on. Like,
I love that part.
It's great.
Dude, these are all this viral, like, marketing and stuff. That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
I got one more game I played. And it looked like, did somebody else play that? Oh, maybe I said that earlier. So I played this War of Mine. It's one of another game that you guys both talked about and loved, but I never played. And so I played it. I got up to day 20 or so. Awesome game. No real complaints other than the fact that during the daytime, there's not a ton you can do.
Yeah, but you could end the day early.
You can, but like I want my guys to be sleeping, and they'll sleep half the day, and then I swap them out.
Yeah.
So
you were waiting?
I had to like wait to swap guys out to sleep.
I never did that.
So... That's only my real complaint, but I talked to Emil about this. So this game is you're taking place in this war zone, and you're trying to survive. Your guys are in a house that you're trying to survive in, and then at night you can go out and scavenge. One guy gets to go out and scavenge. I don't know, but. It gets worse and worse because you're just running out of food, and food is always a priority. You're trying to. My guys were almost always hungry at some point. You try to get them food before they get very hungry, but they're just always hungry, and so you try to go out to these areas and get food. But now the food gets scarcer and scarcer, and now you're having to go to high danger areas to get food. And I got to this area that said there. The little premise said they were shooting guns and you could hear screams. So I came in with guns blazing and just killed like four people and just started stealing their food. And then all my guys got depressed because they're like, oh crap, what'd we do? We just shot four people. And I'm like, come on guys, snap out of it. We're surviving here. We're on day 20. Let's get this thing done. But you said you never...
I never finished it. Bobby did.
Did you have to go the bandit route, start stealing?
You have to, I think, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you have to, but I certainly did. I wish I hadn't have beaten that game because as soon as I beat it, I stopped playing it. I think that's partially due to the subject matter. It's just a little depressing.
Yeah. Oh,
a little?
Yeah.
The most depressing game ever, maybe.
This was a tough week for me. I played this War of Mine straight into Fallout 4. Mm-hmm. It was just like... Like, humanity is hopeless. That was all I played this week.
Well, those are the best
And then I interspersed it with Go Home Dinosaurs and the Banner Saga. So, but it was a really depressing week for me playing games. But I was having a blast doing it. But it was not.
You played a lot of good games this week, man.
Yeah. And straight off of Bobby's list.
What would you want to say about Hearthstone?
Oh, Hearthstone. I guess I'm the only one playing games this week. Hearthstone in BlizzCon... They said, hey, because I had a buddy at BlizzCon, and he was at this thing, so he was telling me exactly how it went. They came out and said, hey, we're announcing the new expansion for Hearthstone coming out this year. And then, like, a couple minutes later, he's like, oh, I've been told that I need to be more specific. It's going to come out this month. And people were, like, cheering and stuff. And then a couple minutes later, he's like, ah, I'm told we need to be more specific. It is coming out Thursday. So they announced this on BlizzCon to come out the next Thursday, which was this week. So League of Explorers expansion came out this week. It's a single-player campaign. It's got four wings, kind of standard fare for Hearthstone, where four wings, three bosses, then two class challenges, and the hard mode for them. I played all the way through the first wing. Cool stuff. They got a new mode, a new card mechanic called Discovery. So if it's like discover a one-cost creature, when you play the, if it's a battle cry, you discover one-cost creature. When you play the card, three one-cost creatures come up, and you get to pick one of those three. So it's not just a...
It is in your deck, or completely random?
Random. But based... So if one says discover a spell, it will only show you spells that you could have had in your deck. So you're not getting a warrior spell playing as a mage.
Yeah.
But... or if it says one-cost creature, you're not going to get a warrior creature playing a priest or whatever. But that's kind of the cool mechanic. One card that's coming out, which is really cool, but I don't know if it's ever going to be played. So... It's a legendary minion. You play it. It puts a map into your deck. Mm-hmm. If you draw the map, then the map puts a monkey into your deck. If you play the monkey, if you draw the monkey and play the monkey, it changes all the cards in your hand and deck into legendaries. All your deck.
Random generate?
Yeah. Just turns them into
Why
everything.
Why wouldn't you play it?
Well, because there's so many. It's cool, though, because... You first got to play the Explorer. Your Explorer has to then find the map.
Right.
And then you use the map to find the hidden artifact. Right. And then the artifact gives you this wondrous ability.
Yeah, just having this one thing and card drawing ability. I mean, you can make a troll deck and they pull it off sometimes.
That was the cool one. And they showed the guy playing it in the BlizzCon. Yeah. And there's all this effects. They have the like plane kind of effect that goes. So they really amped up the kind of fun
the animations
factor. The animations and all this stuff is all coming up, so I'm excited for this. I love the single player parts of Hearthstone, so I'm definitely playing this.
The tricky part about animations is like they're super cool the first 50 times, but then they kind of wane on you. They should have an option to turn that off.
Yeah, but
there probably is, right?
How many people are going to actually play this card, you know what
not
I mean?
Not that card, I meant just
animations in general. As long as they don't take up too much time, they can be as flashy as they want, but when you have to sit and wait for an animation to complete and you're ready to move on with the game, it can get really annoying.
I don't know. Like, I agree with you guys, but there's a card, Voltron.
I've never seen it proc, though.
I haven't either, but I've been told, like, it's really cool. I'm like, sure, it's got all this effects that go off. When something is really rare, I want to be rewarded.
No, for sure. Absolutely.
So, that's $20, by the way. I don't know if you can do individual wings for gold. I think you can.
That's what they did last time.
I just bought it straight up for 20, but...
As someone who plays Hearthstone lightly, the more they add to this, the less I want to play it. Because every time I jump in and just play, like, some random game, I'm still using, like, a Paladin deck from when the game came out. And people are playing all sorts of cards that I have no idea where these came from, and they're extremely good. And I feel like the cards are getting better. Like, they're adding...
They kind of have to.
Yeah, I guess they...
That's how they are in Magic, too.
They talked a little bit about that at BlizzCon, and basically what they said is there's too many net decks. There's too many, like, if you play against a mage, you kind of know what they're going to play, because there's only one mage deck that is...
Viable.
And so what they're saying is, basically, they don't have enough cards in the game yet, because there's not enough diversity, so they're trying to come out with cards as quickly as they can so they can build up that stable of cards, so it's no longer the mage deck or the paladin deck.
It's the exact same things that happened in Magic.
Yeah, at the very beginning. These cards, I mean, they don't come with the game. You've got to unlock these, buy them, get packs.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really putting all this behind a paywall.
Yeah, but at the same time, you don't have to pay a dollar. There's no requirement that you have to pay any money at all in Hearthstone, and you could get everything.
I've always been happy with the amount you can get for just playing.
Yeah. I am too, but you have to actually play every day.
And you have to
do the dailies.
Play well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. As a, well, maybe not even a casual player, but a light player. Like, I guess I'm not the demographic they're going after.
Yeah.
What? Blizzard Fanatics? Yeah, I think you are.
we played some Heroes of the Storm this week, but one of the things that came out at BlizzCon was the Ogre, which we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Did you know how to get it?
You know, we didn't talk about this very well because I hadn't finished watching. I was literally in the middle of the presentation where they're talking about the new heroes. And then after we had recorded, I had watched the Cho'Gall presentation. And really, really interesting the way they've designed him and also how they're marketing him. So two people control one character and one person has to choose him. And then the other person can piggyback off of that and choose him as well. And you each get your own talents that you get to choose. One person controls Cho, who controls the walking and the melee, and he has his own abilities. The other person controls Gall, who is the mage, who does more ranged abilities. But there's one ability that they have to do in synchronization, the E ability. I can't remember what the name of it is. But Cho throws something out with E, and then Gall has to detonate it by pressing E. So there's actually some coordination required when playing these two characters as opposed to just being stuck on the same body. So I thought that was really interesting. But the way that they're marketing it is if you went to BlizzCon or if you got the virtual ticket like I did, then you get Cho'Gall for free, but you can't buy him any other way. But if I play Cho'Gall, then anybody else on my team can select him as well in my party.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So they can play Gall or they can play Cho. So if we win four games together, then like say Emilio, you and I play, I pick Cho, you pick Gall, we win four games together.
I unlock Cho.
Yeah, you unlock him and I get a whole bunch of gold.
It's like kind of viral. Yeah. Where you have to like find somebody to play with, play four games.
Are you guys gonna be Cho, Gall?
I wanna play this guy really bad. Like I said, I've been gone all weekend, I haven't had a chance to play. But next time I play Heroes of Storm with Bobby, I want to play Cho'Gall.
I can't wait to try him out.
When does he come out?
I don't know. They're having a big patch next week, or actually Tuesday when this airs. So I don't think he's going to come out on that one, but it might be a few more weeks. But I feel like they're going to rapidly release Cho'Gall, Greymane, and one other character. It was really interesting what they said, too, about the character. They found that every time they put him in a game when they were testing him, that it snowballed either way. Either the team killed him and got credit for two kills, and then that just snowballed into a defeat, or Cho'Gall would get a kill, get another kill, and that just snowballed into a victory. So they had to change the entire game, and they did this a few patches back. They had to change the way that characters leveled, how powerful they got for per level as opposed to their base level. And they changed some real fundamental things about the game to even everything out in preparation for him, but also just to make the game a little more fair.
I have noticed recently playing this week a couple times now where we were down big early or up big early, and then the opposite ended up being the result. Like, we were down big early and we ended up winning, and then another time...
Is it through skills or through... Like,
I don't know.
I never liked Mario Kart mechanic where the guys behind you could always
go
faster.
There's no rubber banding mechanic in this. Like, there's no, like, specific mechanic that gives you an advantage for being on the lesser side.
Okay.
But I don't know what it is. Maybe
they give you more opportunities? Somehow.
Maybe they change the mechanic, or maybe people get overconfident or whatever.
I think it
is.
Has to do with the characters that are the heroes that you choose. And it was so cool to hear them talk in detail about this game, and it probably was worth the $40 for the virtual ticket. That was something I was asking myself the entire time I was watching all this BlizzCon stuff, because I watched everything about Heroes of the Storm and everything about Overwatch, little something on cosplay, skip the Linkin Park concert, no thanks. Nothing against those guys, but you know, but I really watched, yeah, I do too, but I'm not like fanatical about them. But I probably watched half the content that I paid for, but I'm happy with spending $40 for it. And they threw you a lot of digital bonuses anyway. And the information that they give out was just so interesting. Even on Overwatch, too. Like, they had a lot of information from the beta, a lot of statistics, which I love. But even on Heroes of the Storm, and to hear what they're doing to improve this game, how they're doing balancing, how they have graphs of, like, okay, here's the character. And at level 13, 78% of people are getting the Q upgrade for this character, this part, or, you know, they had all this, analytical information about, wins and win rates and like, Uther is picked or banned 100% competitive play and like all these things that they're going off of, which they make changes based off of. So seeing that was really cool. And like, they talked about some changes that they had made, and the last patch that they did was incredible. Like it totally balanced the whole game. Like, you have all these new characters that are that were coming back and being viable. You know, we saw some Stitches play in the competitive, or the what was that that we watched the other day?
Tournament?
Yeah, the grand finals for Heroes. We saw Murky in the grand finals.
Yeah, that was cool.
I mean, we saw all these characters that you would never, ever, ever see before, but because of this passion, a lot of the balancing that they did, we were able to see it.
So it turns out Blizzard's a pretty good company.
Yeah, who would have known?
Yeah.
Can I segue that? Or?
Yeah, go for it.
League of Legends also had their grand finale recently, which means they're back in the preseason, which means this is basically the time that League of Legends...
Change everything.
Does their big changes. Right. Yeah. They want to do their big changes in the preseason, tighten those changes down more and more and more as they get closer to it. So this patch that is coming out, I'm not sure if it's out yet or if it's still on the public testing realm, the PTR. I'm not sure if it's out yet, but this has so many changes. I know neither of you guys are really League of Legends players, and I'm not really either, but League of Legends is one of the things that I watch on Twitch more than anything else, just because it's fun to watch on Twitch. So I'm not going to go deep into it, but if you haven't played League of Legends recently and you jump back in there, you might want to look at some of these patch notes. Marksman, which is their carry class, their AD carry or whatever you want to call it, the Hunter, they're basically redoing all of them because they found out that people were just picking the one or two that had the highest damage, and they want to make it more like you pick this marksman because he's better at taking towers down, or one marksman's better at long fights versus one better at more burst damage. So they're redoing all the marksmen, adding a bunch of different stuff. The other thing that I thought was cool, where their Baron is, which would be the equivalent of like Conqueror if you play Han, or the Fire Giant if you play Smite. Up until 20 minutes, instead of nothing there, they kind of have a lesser boss there. And he gives you a little advantage. And basically what they had found is everybody's worried about the bottom lane because that's where the dragon is. Mm-hmm. And so the top lane just kind of does its thing or whatever. So they're putting another thing to fight over for the top to make the top lane interesting as well. It's not a big thing, but it's something that, hey, you can go and something to worry about.
A little more like the Gold Fury then.
Yeah. But if the Gold Fury was also where the Fire Giant was.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's called the Rift Herald, if you cared. Lots of item changes. They're doing some gold changes to try to balance out the gold a little bit. They were getting more spikier than they wanted, so they made some changes. And the last big change they did was they changed masteries. Basically, they're going like Blizzard was, where Blizzard had 31-point talent trees and all that stuff.
Right.
And then they're back to like 5 or 6 tiers, and you only get 1 or 2 choices. So you can't make wrong choices as much. But these are bigger choices. But it's just 1 or 2. You get this one or this one instead of like 4 or 5 just minor little tweaks. So I thought all those were cool. Obviously, they're changing things around to change which champion is now more important. You know, which ones are going to be tournament worthy and which ones aren't. So it's going to be interesting coming up. League of Legends is going to change quite a bit when this comes live.
Cool. See, the Samsung VR is coming out in the next 3 or 4 weeks. And it's only going to be $99.
Wow.
But
what is this buying? The one where the...
You're basically just holding something that holds your phone on your face.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not excited about this at all. It's just like that I'm just waiting for the big ones to come out. But then I was thinking about the applications for this and what they seem... I went to the website where you can pre-order one. It says 3 to 4 weeks before it comes out. You know, you're on a plane, you're on a train, whatever. You put this thing on, it puts you, like you said a long time ago, it puts you in a virtual theater. You can watch something on a super big screen.
Cool.
And enjoy it that way.
That'd be great. This is really weird, but a lot of times
you just look like a douchebag when you're doing it.
Yeah.
If you're on a train, you got a little privacy, maybe. You know, if you got one of those nice rooms.
I would totally do that on a plane.
Well, no, I would use this because every time I go to bed, I watch Twitch or YouTube, and I've got a little kickstand on my phone case that props it up, but it would be so much better if I could just lay on my back and just have that thing like, you know, standing off a couple inches from my eyes, or like lay on my side and I'm still just looking right at it. I mean,
what? No, dude.
No?
How are you going to fall asleep with light in your eye?
I turn the brightness down. Dude, I don't understand why people, like, in movie theaters, you see someone turn their cell phone on, and it's like a freaking Ark of the Covenant. Like, dude, my girlfriend
the
does that.
The guy's face is melting.
My girlfriend does that all the time. Like, I'll just be, like, laying in bed next to her, and she just turns her cell phone on, and it's just like, like, fucking holy heavenly light. But I don't understand why people do that, dude. Anytime I'm in a dark place, I adjust my brightness on my phone probably more than anybody I know.
Like, I do it all the time.
I constantly adjust the brightness.
Yeah.
I do not.
Chad is such a bitch about light at night. We shared a room for a small time, no homo. And every day I would come home and find a sock on my computer. I'm like, why the fuck is this sock on my computer? He was covering up the little one LED light that was maybe 14 feet from the bed, from where his head
when
was.
Everything's pitch black. If
Shut it was, up, you're not going to win this.
No, if it's a solid light, I'm okay with that. But the little thing blinks. It's like hearing the water.
Your eyes are closed, though.
It's like hearing the water drip or the clock ticking. I turn clocks off.
You get better sleep if it's completely dark.
See, Bobby's on my side.
Yeah, like which is impossible at my place. So, which I have to use this creepy sleep mask that looks like something out of 50 Shades of Grey. But I use that, and I get a great night of sleep. If I don't use that, then, like, I wake up, and I feel weird. And there's really no reason. Like, yeah, I have my eyes closed, but I think there's something, there's still light that kind of penetrates your eyelids.
We got off the topic.
No, you know what it is. You guys are white, and you're like, almost
trans- We got that albino eyelid.
Yeah. Your eyelids suck, dude. I close my eyes, and the world's gone. If I'm scared, I shut my eyes, and I think I disappear. Like, it totally works.
Yeah, you sleep like a log, too, so yeah. It doesn't matter what's going
Sunlight,
on.
Sunlight doesn't matter.
I'm whipping you in the face with my... Never mind. What are we talking about? So you're not buying the Samsung.
But back to the 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah, dude, he's got that... He has that sleep mask. Yes.
He has satin sheets. I thought that was his porn stuff. Because you walk in there and you think you're in casting call for a porn movie.
Yeah,
it's the black couch and all.
The black couch
and everything. With the black satin sheets
recording
on.
Recording equipment everywhere.
Yeah, he's got this mask that...
Yeah.
I'm just picturing bed straps or something, like sex swing.
He has a lot of little cabinets in there.
I don't open any drawers or anything because I don't want to know what I...
Yeah.
Like, two-ended dildos or, I don't know, something's I'm going to find.
He did have that plunger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Giant fist-shaped thing.
Oh. Anything you buy from Target doubles as a sex toy.
Yeah.
Speaking of that plunger, if you want to see what it is, it's on our Broforce video, which should be up probably tomorrow. Right?
Yeah, we're finally getting that up.
Yeah, finally. It was handed to one person. It kind of feels like that one Macklemore video where they're carrying that flag all the way to the city. It's kind of been like that, trying to get that thing online, but we're almost there.
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah,
so. I'm gonna look like a douchebag. But that's right.
You kind of take the lead in the beginning. It's pretty funny.
Yeah,
you're like shot, like over and over.
Okay, what else we got going on?
Oh, you can find that at DL Gaming DOT Net on
YouTube. Right?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Vermintide had a free DLC because they hit 300,000 in sales.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to have a single player mode where you can go in by yourself. Survival mode where you waves of rats that never end. Loot adjusting where I think the way I understand it is you can set how good of shit you want to drop and they'll change the difficulty accordingly. Maybe they're going to change that from what is the stuff that you pick up, those tomes or whatever?
Yeah. Or the dice.
Grimoires. Because the grimoires, they're always in the same spot, which kind of makes it not as challenging. So maybe this will make it a little better. There's going to be something new in the inn where you can, instead of melting them like you do now, you can do something else with the weapons to train them in for something else. And then there's a new tier of weapons. So I don't know what the colors are now, but there's a new color, red, which is on top of everything else.
Orange the highest?
Color? Yeah, orange was a legendary.
So it's green,
standard.
Blue, orange,
mm-hmm.
And now red.
Well, white, green,
white,
blue.
White, green, blue, okay. Orange, red. No so, purple. Yeah, sorry.
I love when companies do stuff like this. You know, like they're showing their love by showing that they loved our money.
Yeah, so, but that's who doesn't love our money?
Yeah, I think I missed one thing, Bob, didn't I?
I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
All right, so we already announced the winner of the review raffle, right?
Yep, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, cool. Sights. So that's awesome. congratulations there. If you want to check out any of our content, dlgaming.net is the website, and that links everything we have, YouTube, Twitter, our Steam group. What else we got?
Twitch.
Big dicks.
When do you stream, Amila?
Evenings, weekdays, mostly. Cool. 7 to 9 p.m. PST.
Nice. And we might have someone else streaming during different hours for us.
Yeah.
Possibly. And I've got a week off coming up soon, so who knows? Maybe I'll stream too.
Yeah! Maybe we see Bobby's mug out there on the Twitcher-sphere. Twitcher-sphere.
Yep, sure. That's a word.
Chet it. We're going to need a Chet it.
We need a Chet it right there. Finish this off a minute.
Cool.
And then do the ending.
And now, speaking for Bobby, Chad, and Emilio, titties.
That's the worst titties I've seen. Heard.
Titties.